Today, and of course, the big elephant in the room, of course, is the RFP that came out from EPA. But today we're going to talk to Renee from St. Louis Community College, because they have an outstanding program and on long duration. It's not by any means luck that they've done as well as they have. They first got started in 2000. Mike Holmes and later Tim Bull started a program in St. Louis, and that was back 2000. And then they had a few, they were a little sporadic, 2000, 2004, then 2009 they competed. But when 2013 came along, they just hit their stride, and they've been in competition in each of their eligible years, 2013, 15, and 17, and they've been in the top group every year. So we're going to hear from Renee in a second. We always start with, and then we, if we have time, we're going to start talking about the RFP, and that's going to continue till almost till the 15th. We're going to have another session on the 8th, which will be strictly about responding to this RFP. And what we're talking about are things that are going to make you better than everyone else is what we're focusing on. There are places you could go to see, and we'll talk about that, places you could go to see other proposals. But if everyone does what everyone else does, it's kind of graded on the curve. So we're talking traditionally just a few points that separate the best and the worst. So it's an issue where you have to be outstanding and you have to be better than everyone else. And that's what we're going to be focusing on the 8th of November. And we'll send these out in our notices. Then we're going to have another special PLC on the 29th of November. And that's going to also focus on those special things you can do to make your proposal better than everyone else's. On December 6th, we're going to be at Brownfields. And anyone who's going to Brownfields 2017, we're going to have a session on Wednesday. And, of course, we'll be discussing all of those things in addition to general issues about environmental workforce. And, of course, we'll post all these notices and talk about these as we go along. Of course, anyone who's sending in proposals, those are due on December 15th. Between all of this, so across the Thanksgiving holiday, we'll be sending out little reminders and checklists, because people will be on vacations and might be not as convenient to go to a conference call like this. So we'll be sending out little special notices and have you done this? Have you done this? Make sure you review this. So between now and the due date, you'll be hearing a lot from us. Some of it may be repetitive because a lot of people are saying the same things, but we just want to make sure that you don't miss anything. We always start these off. So I just wanted to give you kind of a overview of what's going to happen between now and when those are due. And then, of course, after that, we'll take a holiday break and then start up in January of the new year. So that's kind of where we're going with the professional learning communities between now and the end of the year. Well, we always start off with anything from Washington, any announcements. Glo, anything new today?
Actually, no. My contact at headquarters is out this week. So I was just going to pretty much say the same thing that you just did, Mike, that the RFP was issued on October 16th. I actually put it out on the listserv on October 16th, and I actually got it out there before it was posted to grants.gov. So I was kind of happy with that. Submissions are due December 15th. So if you have not checked to be sure that your SAMs and your DUNS and all that stuff that you need in there is up to date, you need to do that now. Don't wait until you're ready to submit your proposal. It may be too late by then. Then I also wanted to remind everyone about EPA's webinar to assist and prepare for FY18 EWDJT proposals. That's going to be on November 7th at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I would highly recommend, if you're planning to submit a proposal, that you attend this webinar. And as Mike said, attend our next PLC sessions, because we're going to be talking and discussing all about the RFP and offering tips answering questions, whatever you guys need. So that's it for me.
Great. The webinar from EPA, which is going to talk strictly about the RFP, will be on the 7th. We're going to have a PLC on the 8th. And this is what I would suggest. If you have questions, jot them down. Send them to GLOW. GLOW, do you want to give them your email address? And we'll put them on the listserv, and we'll also answer them in any of the correspondence that we send out from the PLC. GLOW, do you want to give everyone your email?
Yeah, my email is ghanne@eicc.edu.
So any questions you have, if you're not getting my post-session notes, send her a note and say, please make sure I'm on the PLC list. We'll make sure you're on the PLC and the listserv list. They're two different lists. The PLC list always gives you the post-session notes, and we usually put references, websites, upcoming meetings, all of a summary of what we talked about at the PLC. If you have any questions, though, jot them down and send them to GLOW, and we'll make sure that we put them on PLC and we'll put them on listserv. The other thing is on the 8th, and we want to prepare you a little for the 8th, start thinking of questions you want to ask headquarters, because they're going to on the 7th, when they have the webinar, you're going to have at the very end a chance to ask questions, and there may be some hard questions you want to ask. And I might even suggest a few in the notes. There are things about the type of training you're doing. For example, you have to be a little careful because there's certain agencies that are kicking in money for this program. For example, AIR is not part of this program. So if you have a heavy focus on AIR, they may not be able to fund that part of your proposal because AIR is not contributing to this. As you go through the PLC, you're going to see, as you go through the RFP, you're going to see the funders, and that's primarily who's supporting the program. And when we get to curriculum, and we'll talk about this later, you want to focus your main curriculum and your ancillary courses on what's being funded by EPA. So, but the main thing I'm trying to say is jot down your questions so you don't forget them and send them off to us. Also, be prepared to ask those questions of EPA. This will be the only time you may be able to ask very specific questions at this webinar on November 7th. So just keep that in mind. Well, we've taken a bunch of time from Renee's presentation. As I said earlier, a great program and a solid program, and a program really that has done a lot of the things that we've been talking about in previous PLCs in terms of working with ARC grantees, reaching out, working with the WIB. So, Renee, with that, I'd like to turn it over to you.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Great. Thanks. I'd rather be on speakerphone if possible. So, as Mike mentioned, St. Louis Community College has been engaged in this type of program off and on since the year 2000. So it definitely goes beyond my lifetime with the college. But I've been, I would say, honored, you know, to deal with this grant since 2013. And I've really enjoyed it. It's definitely one of my favorite projects to work on, primarily because I feel like it has big impact. You know, I'm able to, you know, recruit people who may otherwise not have the education, or maybe they have a background, you know, issue that doesn't allow them to have a lot of career opportunities. And I found with this type of training, almost most people are able to get employed after going through this program. Some people like to call me a tree hugger. So for that reason as well, I really find joy in being involved in this grant. Right now I'm excited because we just were awarded another grant, and so I'm getting started right now with the recruitment and screening process, kind of starting all over again. So we have propose to train at least 12 people per class starting in January. And I will say we focus our training in the cooler months, so January, February, and end of March is usually when we start classes. And that's because there's less job opportunity during that time of year. So we feel like that's the best time to concentrate our training efforts, and it gives us a little bit of a running start at those jobs that'll be popping up in the spring and the summer, and it allows for a little easier job placement. We've also had, you got to understand too, we also have a lot of things going on in the St. Louis area. I try to stay really linked in with local government activities, so I know when there's going to be big projects, if there's any sort of requirements involved, like different city ordinances may require a certain percentage of minorities on the job or a certain number of people who live within that city to be on the job. So being aware of those things in your area can be very important in making sure that, you know, the city government or county government are aware of your program and what you're doing and what that actually can translate to. And because we've been doing this, I think, off and on since 2000, a lot of times I get phone calls about projects that are coming up, or either directly from, you know, my government partners or from employers themselves. They may anticipate getting a project and they want to get a head start on recruiting new employees. So that's really great when that happens. And right now, for whatever reason, St. Louis is kind of going through a little bit of a construction boom, and there's also a lot of demolition going on. So with demolition, a lot of times you do have asbestos to clean up first, especially with the older building stock. So, you know, we're doing okay right now with the job placement. Let's see. But right now, on top of job placement, I'm knee-deep in recruitment and screening. And I work closely with our job center in the city and also in St. Louis County to distribute flyers and do information sessions to get the word out about the program. You know, as you know, we don't have a lot of money to work with for marketing and advertising. So a lot of it is just getting those flyers in the hands of people that can help you spread the word, and that can be your job centers, churches, know your community-based organizations. I find them very helpful, and we have several in the St. Louis area that help me tremendously with getting the word out. And I don't know if they're same organizations in other cities or not, but I work a lot with Father Support Center, Connections to Success, International Institute. I'm trying to think. There's some veterans organizations like St. Patrick's Center. So all of them are very helpful because they are, I feel like we have the same goals, so that's helpful. They may have grants that are trying to help people get back on their feet after, you know, completing a prison sentence. Or maybe they're helping someone who's been chronically unemployed and they just need some improvement in some basic skills, you know, how to perform an interview or helping them just with some basic education. So those community-based organizations really provide kind of the support I need. So when I do interviews, well, I guess I should back up. I'll do an information session, and then anyone still interested in the program, I will schedule a one-on-one interview with them. And I have some ranking criteria that I go through. So if they are referred by one of my, what I consider, partner community-based organizations and have completed a program with that organization, I give them an extra point on my ranking criteria. For one, it shows me that they're able to complete a program that's multi-weeks long and be successful. So that's helpful because a lot of times people are going to say whatever they feel you want to hear, and it may or may not be true. So this is one way of knowing, okay, they've actually completed this program, and I can talk to people who I know and trust at that organization, and they can even give me a little more background on that person, on the type of student they are, what they're interested in. But other ranking criteria I look at is, of course, work experience. I love it if people have construction experience because I feel like a lot of these jobs they're going to be getting into are very physical and they're strongly tied to specialized construction jobs. So that's a good thing. But if they don't, I look for any evidence of doing a work that involves physical activity. You know, if someone never did anything physical in their life, I'm a little hesitant, and they really have to convince me of the reasons why they want to do this and why they feel they're going to be able to do it. That's a big one. The other thing would be driver's license. It is really difficult to place someone in a job or for them to get a job on their own if they do not have a driver's license. So if someone doesn't have a driver's license, they have to present a plan to me of how they're going to go about getting one, hopefully before the program starts. But they also get points for that on my ranking criteria, and I let them know that. Usually I let them know that right at the beginning of the information session so that they know they need to be working on that and getting some plan together. Because it's not just about can you get to and from class. There's a bus station or bus stop nearby. That's great. But after that, you're going to have to get to and from a job, and the job is not in the same place every day. And, in fact, you know, they may want you to drive a company vehicle to the job site. So, you know, they're not going to hire someone that doesn't have a driver's license. Let's see. And if for some reason, let's say they've got multiple tickets or something like that, look around for programs that can assist people. So, for example, that community-based organization I mentioned, Father Support Center, they actually have funding to assist people with navigating that. So if they've got a lot of parking tickets or speeding tickets or whatever it might be, and it's just too much money and they just can't overcome that, look to your community-based organizations to see if there's some funding or some free legal assistance that may be able to help that person. So maybe they can't be in your next class, but maybe a few months later, you know, or maybe next year, they'll be able to do it. But if you don't have those basic things, you know, you can't expect them to get a job. Let's see. Oh, student referrals, also very important. So, you know, I've got lots of graduates now, hundreds, and a lot of them have kept in touch with us over the years. I'm even in touch with graduates that graduated before I started working at the college because they just feel so indebted to this program that they want to help other people get jobs or refer people to the training. And I take those referrals really seriously because I know if you went through the program and now you're successful, anyone they're referring should understand kind of what it's all about. So I love graduate referrals. Those are the best. And I also look at, you know, are you showing up on time for your interview? You know, some people don't take this seriously. They think it's, oh, it's free training. If I don't show up, I can just reschedule. I'll allow them to reschedule once, but if you don't show up twice without advance notice, you're not getting rescheduled a third time. You're going to have to wait till next year because I've got plenty of people that, you know, I could interview for that slot and are more taking it a little bit more seriously. But that can be the problem sometimes, right, with free training. People may think, oh, you know, you're just trying to fill slots in a free class. Must not be that great because it's free. So that's why I do the group information sessions so I can really get the information out about all the classes that are combined in a 6-week program. It's quite robust. It is serious. And these are nationally recognized certifications that are required to work in this field. It's not something we've made up with the grant money. These are, you know, all the certifications are through OSHA or NIEHS or some other certifying agency. And so once they understand that and they understand, like, how much this would cost, that some of these classes are offered for a fee, and if you were to take them on your own, how much it would cost, or how long it would actually take you to do all those classes, because they're not offered in a six-week package anywhere aside through this program. The ones that get it, they're usually the best students. There's still some that may not get it, and so that's, you know, I feel like that's part of my job is, you know, going through these interviews and doing these screenings is trying to figure out who's really serious about this, who's really going to follow through, who's really employable, and you've always got to keep those things in mind. Let's see. Yeah, their commitment level is very, very important. So once we've gotten through all the information sessions and all the interviews, I will then select, you know, if let's say I'm going for 15 people, I always try to get 12 to 15 people per class. I will ask about 20 or so to come in for drug testing, and that's because some won't show up for the drug test, or some will show up, and then they'll fail the drug test. I've never had everyone, unfortunately, I've never had everyone pass the drug test. I don't know why people feel they will pass it when they've done drugs, but for some reason they do think they will pass. So, or they think they can continue to take it repeatedly until they do pass, and that's not an option. Let's see. So recruitment and screening, you know, the other, I really don't have a big problem with retention. So I feel like if you do your due diligence on the front end with your recruitment and your screening, and you've got, you know, like I said, referrals from past graduates or referrals from community-based organizations where maybe people have gone through other programs, you should have good success with retention throughout the program. Now, you know, I'm going to lose people every now and then, but honestly, we have really great retention, and I think it's because of the efforts put in on the front end. If you just kind of open the door, like first come, first serve, and just checking boxes of, you know, do they meet certain criteria, people aren't going to take it as seriously, and if a job opportunity comes up, they're going to bail. They're going to leave. So, you know, just be very intentional, very deliberate with your recruitment and screening process. I just think it's so important. And then while they're in the class, I don't teach, but I do visit periodically. And, you know, when you're sitting in a classroom 8 hours a day, sometimes you can be sleepy. So I think when I'm popping in from time to time, they never know when I'm going to show up for the most part. But they know the commitment that they made to the program and the commitment they made to me. So, you know, when I show up, they tend to be on their best behavior, and of course, they want those instructors giving them good feedback, you know, to me. What else do we do? I also bring in employers and the laborers union. So at least during that 6 week time period, there's a couple days, at least a couple days, where we get out of class a little bit early. And so I try to utilize those shorter days to bring in employer partners to discuss what that job opportunity for them. I also bring in the laborers union because they do environmental work when it comes to asbestos and lead and Hazwoper. And I've gotten a great relationship with them, and they actually helped me place quite a few women that, and it can be difficult sometimes to place women into these types of jobs. I have found that some employers are, you know, they won't admit it, but I think they feel like, well, maybe they're not able to do the physical work. But the laborers union, I have been able to get quite a few women placed through them. And been very successful. They've been very successful. Mike, what else would you like me to talk about?
Well, you know, one thing that might be interesting, put yourself, say, last year at this time when you were writing the proposal or when your group was writing the proposal. Everyone is going to have a different approach in doing this. Some will form teams. Some will have some outside writer do this. could you tell us a little bit about your process in terms of putting your place yourself in 1 year ago when you applied for the grant?
So that's always tricky, isn't it? Because now that we've done this so many times, it's kind of like, ooh, it's so tempting to copy, paste, and just change a little. But I know, you know, that doesn't work. They know that they're going to look for fresh information. And in actuality, I think we barely got in this year, and I need to look for some new angles next time around. So even though I was just awarded the grant, I am right now trying to prepare for 2 years from now.
Very good advice. Now, did you go point by point through that proposal? In other words, the biggie is the ranking criteria. Almost everyone here will probably qualify for the threshold, but the money part is the ranking criteria and answering those questions.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you don't want to miss out on any points because I'm not someone that got 100%, you know, on our application, but I was told that there are some applications that get all the points, 100%. So we know that's achievable, and that's going to be our goal next time around. And we probably did overlook a couple points, and that could have caused us to lose the grant because it's such a tight competition.
Do you know how many points or remember how many points you got about?
I don't. I don't.
Yeah, I know it's in the 90s. It might be 91, 92. This is how tight it is. Very close.
Yeah, and I was told we were close to the bottom. So, you know, it's a very tight competition, very tight.
This is why we want to talk about some specific things in the next several weeks that nobody else may be doing. You know, the good news is there's $3 million this year because of the continuing resolution. That's about 15 to 16 grants. Now, having said that, we're going to have a lot of re-ups. You can't bid from the last year, so you could have 15 to 20 re-ups. These are people who have already had experience, and they've got an advantage over new people coming in. And then there's going to be the new people coming in. So typically, and I couldn't hold to that, but you might anywhere from 40 to 60 grants submissions. So we're talking about anywhere from 1 to 2, which is pretty good odds, to 1 to 3. So that means you've got to beat another person out or maybe two people out. Right. So what you got to think about is what are you doing that's going to make you better than two other people? And one thing I want to do, and I want to ask for questions, but one thing we've been talking about in the last couple PLCs is the importance of these ARC proposals, the assessment, revolving loan funds, and cleanup proposals. They came out a month before the job training proposals, the request for proposals. Their due dates are a month before the Environmental Workforce Development Job Training programs. Mm-hmm. Now, the important thing about them, when you look at their RFP, it's almost identical to the job training. The demographics, the target area, the community, the partners, they are also asked to partner with the job training programs. If you do nothing else this week between now and when we talk again, try to get a hold of your ARC grantees. And I'm going to ask, for those of you who weren't on the last PLC, how do I do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then being able to connect with employer partners is critical as well. I think you get probably quite a few points if you're able to say, here's the training and here's how it directly relates to job, and here's an employer that says there's going to be a need for that type of training and that they're willing to hire. So I think definitely start gathering, you know, who those employers might be if you're not sure. Start researching your area and who those employers are and get them involved with your proposal.
You know, I'm not sure. This is Chloe. But I think maybe Mike had a problem with
okay.
Is anyone, there he is. He's back.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. I'm back. I think
yeah, I was like, it was awfully quiet for a minute.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
And it wasn't a theatrical stunt. I was leading up to, this is the most important thing you've got to do, and then I was cut off. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Fine.
What I was saying is the ARC grantees are required to have public notice, public hearings as part of the working with their community, which is a very important part of everybody's grant. They're going to be holding public hearings, but those have to be done by the 2nd of November. So here we are just a week or so away when, and they may have already had their public hearings, but if you can find out who the ARC grant writers are, have they had their public hearings yet? If they have not, contact them right away. Find out if you could attend or be a part of, ideally, your intentions to submit an environmental workforce grant. Because when you go to write this grant, that's going to be one of the questions that not a lot of people will do. And if you've done it, you could do your own public hearings, go to churches and make announcements. But if you could dovetail onto the ARC grants, they will like it also because they're required to work with you. If you get to know them and develop a relationship with them, find out what communities they're going to serve and maybe even share their demographic information. They've been working on this thing now for a month, and they're going to have a lot of information that you're going to be using next month. So if you could align your target areas with their target areas, they've got special circumstances. They've got to justify why they're working in certain areas. They've got to have the demographics just like you. So everything on the front end of this is going to almost identical. And some of the threshold criteria are also very identical. They'll give you leveraging information. So what I'm saying here that's very important, and it's repetitive because I've talked about this before, it's not too late, but try to find out who the ARC grantees are. And the way to do that is go to the mayor's office as a starter, try to go to Dean or find out whoever. First, find out who's working on Brownfield. Second, find out who's working on one of the ARC proposals, the assessment, revolving loan fund, or the cleanup, and then ask if you can set up a meeting with them and go that route. This is one of those power things that you could put in your proposal that many, not a lot of people are going to do. Some are, because we talked about this in the last session, and there are other grantees doing this, but it won't be a lot of them. So just something to put on your notes to do this week as long as you can. The other thing is what Glo talked about. It's so important to make sure whoever is going to be submitting your proposal, do a dry, you don't have to do a dry run, but walk through with them what you have to do. They may have the DUNS number, and they may have been SAMS, but that has to be renewed every year if it's not active. You do not want to write your proposal and then find out that it's too late. So, in fact, you might even work with one of the ARCs, and if it may be something you'll do in partnership and having them be the authorized submitter, it's something you can work out. But don't wait till last week and then find out, oh, we don't do that, or we're not familiar with it, or it's not updated, and then all the work you've been putting in is for naught. So right now, the next thing below getting a hold of the ARC people is talk to the administrative people in your office and say, are you prepared? We're going to be submitting this. This is the due date. We want to submit a week ahead. But are you set up, and do you have a new password that's recent, because that has to be renewed? Has it been active? And just run through a dry run with them. And then once you've got that up, set up the date when you're going to start supplying the rough drafts or the final drafts, giving yourself a week or so ahead of time, just to make sure that all this work you've been doing is for naught, not for naught. So anyway, having said that, anyone have any questions of Renee and what they're doing? They are doing everything right. And you know what you talked about, the screening is so important. And I think part of why she says our retention rates are so good and our placement rates are so good, she spends so much time on that recruitment process, which really is critical. Does anyone have any comments on anything that's been said this afternoon? Any questions? Okay. Well, with that, we're going to be talking. And Renee, I want to thank you very much. You've always had this outstanding program. keep up the good work.
All right. You're welcome. And if anyone wants to email me, you know, offline, that's fine. If they have any questions later,
that would
be
great.
More specific.
Send that to Renee or call her up. We'll put all the contact information in the notes. And we'll also, you could send any questions to Glow. So, well, thank you very much. And we'll get together the day after the webinar. And what I would do is read through the RFP and start to get your questions together of EPA. These would be questions about that RFP that you're really kind of confused about. There, she's going to basically go through slides and go right through that RFP on what it means. So with that, and then we'll follow that up the next day on the 8th at our regular PLC session. So anything else that anyone would like to add today? Okay. Well, I hope everything goes well for everyone in the next week or so, and we'll send out those notes on Friday. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.